The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Martin Fowler, and you're listening to The Agile Uprising.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I'm your host, Troy Lightfoot. And with me, I have a couple special guests. They are release train engineers. So I'll introduce you. The first one, her name is Silver. So Silver, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Troy. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Silver, maybe you can just give us a couple sentence background about yourself and why you're on this podcast.
Sure. So my name's Silver Calfo, and I'm currently a director in our technology program management office for GoGo. We put Wi-Fi on airplanes, and I've been serving as a release train engineer for the last couple years or so, including launching of the safe scaled agile frameworks process at GoGo and launching a couple different arts, and now trying to lead and support that initiative.
I see. Okay. Thank you. And Naina, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Thank you, Troy, for giving us the opportunity to be here. I'm really excited. Hello, everyone. I'm Naina Chavan. I'm a program manager at GoGo. I am RTE for one of the art at GoGo. I'm a newbie to GoGo. It's been six, seven months. And I'm enjoying, you know, being RTE at GoGo. So
very good. So two RTEs, one former RTE. So Silver, are you still an RTE acting, or you have moved on and handed that off to a new RTE?
I'm in the middle of transitioning right now, the second art. So
okay,
but I will still be working very closely with that team and leading that team. So
right, and your experience, like you said, is about a couple years in that role. So we are here today to talk about the power of a great release train engineer. Okay, that's the title of the podcast. So before we can talk about what the power of this person is, if you have a great one, what is a release train engineer? Now we could go to the SAFE website and read all about it, but since you both have the experience, let me ask you this, and it's an open question to either one of you or both. In your opinion and in your experience, what is a release train engineer?
As the name says, release train engineer, I think RTE is mainly responsible for steering your agile train in right direction to deliver the business value. And now when I say steer the train, you know, it depends on what obstacles you find, what dependencies you find along the way. Removing that and making sure all your teams in agile train are self-organizing, you know. So I think basically RTE is responsible for driving end-to-end delivery of value in the program execution.
Okay. So, and so, do you have any other thoughts as well?
Yeah, no, I support and agree with what Naina is saying. Yeah, and I think one of the fundamental things that comes from that's on the Scaled Agile Frameworks website is about, you know, kind of being like the, it's almost like a super scrum master position. One of the critical things as well, and I know Naina is very aware of this, is the actual running of like the quarterly cadenced event for the planning process. And so that's one of the critical responsibilities of the RTE to really be kind of the orchestrator and conductor of that in pulling all the different teams together and the different leaders together to make that happen successfully.
Okay. So that leads me to a follow-up question, is that why do you feel this role is so important in SAFE, and or maybe if someone's not using SAFE, but they have a need to scale multiple teams to work together on a larger business initiative or business initiatives, why would that role of an RTE be so critical or important, regardless even of the framework itself?
Yeah, so I would say that, so if you're doing a large scale initiative for a company that has a large IT organization, you may have a lot of Scrum teams, and you have Scrum Masters who are very heavily focused on the success of that team and what's in front of that specific core group of about 10 individuals, right? 8 to 10 individuals. Where when you're trying to create solutions for a larger initiative and you need a greater number of developers or teams involved in doing that, there's someone who's kind of overseeing that broader scope brush of initiative with those teams. So that's the critical importance, I think, of the release train engineer within that. And then they're providing that other layer between the teams as well as the more senior leadership to ensure that delivery is happening and the value is being driven.
Okay. Nina, do you have any thoughts? Because so far...
Sure. Yeah. So I think Silver covered, non-scale part, like, you know, any organization not necessarily adopted Safe or not, but I'm just going to talk more from the Safe perspective now, so that we'll have both the sides. I think a group of teams forms Agile Release Train ART, which is actually, I think, the primary value delivery construct in Safe. And I think program increment is at the heart of the Safe. So I think RTE helps bring everyone together for 2 days to create a plan for 10 to 12 weeks for the organization. I think RTE is, I think, main responsible person for the success of that program increment planning. Without planning, I think execution comes next, but without planning, I don't think execution would be successful. RT also makes sure all the pre-planning activities, like, you know, making sure features are ready, they are prioritized with the product and business stakeholders. So I think RT plays an important role to make sure, you know, all the inputs are there for the program increment.
I see. Okay, very good. And I'll just chime in to add on to what everything you've said so far. So, you know, one of the Safe principles, and I think this is a good principle for any organization, regardless of Safe or not, is taking a systems view, systems thinking, basically. And so to me, the role of a release train engineer is someone who's doing some systems thinking and not sub-optimizing individual parts of a system. And when I say a system, I'm talking about a team of teams of people. And it's not only the Agile teams themselves, but it's also the people involved with the Agile teams. Then those might be managers, directors, stakeholders, you know, SVPs, you name it, product folks as well, product managers, etc. So the RTE basically is taking a systems view of all the interactions between these folks, the processes, the quality, and thinking about how do we optimize this? How do we make this as effective as possible for the time frame that we're developing work, which in Safe is a PI, 10 to 12 weeks usually, because those PIs have a fixed cost. So how do we make this as effective as possible for everyone involved and get the highest return on investment of every meeting we're in, of the way the PI planning is run, of the way the Scrum of Scrums and the PO syncs and the art syncs and all of the Safe stuff, the system demos, you know, they're taking a view of how do we make this effective across the whole entire system of people and teams. And I think that's one of the reasons why the role is so important. So that's my addition. Make sense?
I agree with that. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk about your backgrounds. How did you come into the RTE role? Like, what were your background and how did you get into it? Because there's some people out there who maybe aren't RTEs, but they listen to this and they say, well, that sounds interesting to me. I would like to hear about Silver and Nina, what their backgrounds were, how they got there. So Silver, do you want to go first?
Sure. As you know, Troy, I kind of fell into this role. I would say my background in general is, if you ever looked at my LinkedIn profile, it's very much of a mishmash of, I started as kind of graduating working information systems for like ERP systems and doing development work in that way. And then eventually worked in operations and contact centers and a lot of different like project management, program management type of roles. Coming into this role, I didn't really necessarily apply for this role, but the organization was starting to roll out Safe, and I had just been brought on to the technology program side. And I've always played the role of kind of the person in the middle of all the chaos to try to sort and order out things and ensure execution. And so that's kind of mm-hmm. one of the things that I'm really good at. So coming into this, that skill set was kind of a very natural match. And originally our VP was supposed to be taking on the RTE role, which made no sense at all. So I kind of just like a few weeks before launch started joining the meetings for this. And it was just seen as we were all trying to figure it out together and learn it together. We didn't really know what each of the different safe roles meant other than from training or from the website itself. And so I sort of just fell into it. So having a coach within our organization to help us kind of like steer and guide that was really critical, especially to what I feel like is the success of this role in our organization and what enabled to help me a lot more, because I didn't have that background coming into it. I've done a lot of program management, project management. I've worked with technology teams, but not necessarily in the Scrum or quote unquote like agile methodology. So that I think is really critical. So if your organization's considering this, that the role of a coach cannot be underestimated.
Nina, so your background coming into this role.
Sure. So I'm coming from quality and testing background. I was a QA manager before I joined GoGo. I was involved in a lot of initiatives like how I can shift testing left. What is agile testing? How organization can adapt and, you know, the agile mindset, even from testing perspective, how we can incorporate BDD into our development, how we can bring more automation into the company and what we are testing. You know, I was also involved in establishing CI/CD in my previous organization. So when this new opportunity for RTE role was presented to me, and I just went through the job description and I was like, I have never done this before. And then the first thought came into my mind was I need to learn SAFe first. And that was my first step. Even before applying, I did one of the SAFe certification, which actually, you know, gave me idea about SAFe and everything. And then everything just, you know, worked my way. And then I'm glad that I'm working with Silver and, she's a great mentor. I think what I'm bringing into this role is, I think one of the SAFe core values built in quality, mm-hmm. right? So I have a lot more insight into how I can make some changes in our current organization to adopt some of these best practices. Like BDD, automation, we are working on our Jenkins CI/CD pipelines right now. So I have a lot more technical experience in those areas. So I think that is really helping me to be more on the technical side as well when we are bringing few changes to our art and teams here. So even if I did not have any SAFe background, I definitely had, as you mentioned, you know, RTE role, not necessarily if the organization has SAFe or not, but I'm pretty sure most of the software development organization now adopting Agile for sure. So I think, you know, this is a critical concept of adding all these different like built-in quality stuff and, you know, how we can be more predictable and stuff like that. So even if I'm coming from a different background, I think I'm gelling well with SAFe and all the core concepts of SAFe. And I really enjoy, my role here at GoGo.
Great. Well, that's nice to hear. All right. Very cool. So what do you think, I'll leave it up to you who wants to go first. What do you think success looks like for a release train engineer?
I'd be interested to hear Nina's opinion on this, like coming in and seeing what we've done and kind of, she was really fresh at, like she said, for SAFe and viewpoint.
Yeah. So I can be a little immature when I answer this question, but whatever I have learned so far in this new role is definitely, I think, success of RTE is definitely measured by success of art, partly mm-hmm. for sure. Because as I mentioned, you know, RTE helps steers the agile release train or team of teams into right direction, right? So all like basically, how are we delivering value to market, right? Time to market, value delivery, quality, built-in quality, how are we doing that? Productivity, or even the predictability of the art. All these success factors are basically, you know, go back to RTE saying that how are we improving PI, program increment over PI, and making sure we are making changes, relevant changes we want to make. For example, we recently had some test organization changes to adapt to some of the you know, pitfalls we had. And we just measured our success from previous PI to next PI, saying that, no, we definitely improved. We reduced the dependencies outside ARC, and, you know, we are going in the right direction. And what I strongly feel that RTE does not have authority over the content. For example, what features we'll be working on, and, you know, what is the priority? I don't think RTE has authority over that, but RTE definitely has an authority over the processes and how we facilitate all the things. So I think, you know, the measure of success is how RTE builds self-organizing teams.
And I want to add on to that before we get to Silver. So, you know, a lot of these transitioning from waterfall to an agile way of working, a lot of people focus on culture. Well, they say, well, we don't have the culture to work this way, or we need to change the culture and all that. Well, culture comes last. You can't just flick a switch and change a culture. So the culture is changed by discipline. And discipline of what is discipline of processes, right? And they could be our processes put in place, like, for example, Scrum or Kanban or XP and those type of processes, and our technical processes, continuous integration as a process, not just the tooling, for example, or test-driven development or behavior-driven development, even the processes, so scaled up from a SAFe perspective, all of the processes involved in SAFe, if we can get really disciplined at those and make them really effective, then the culture starts to change once people develop their own internal culture. They start to expect to do things differently. And as a consultant and a coach, I see that when I first walk into a place, you know, a few months later, or by the time I leave, I can usually see a night and day difference in the individual culture of how they think about the work and the way they're working. And then that scales up to the organization. And so the way I see that is the RTE is really responsible for helping change the culture of an organization, because they are the, just like a Scrum Master is the quote unquote process expert, coach, mentor, et cetera, at Scrum level, the RTE is the same thing, but scaled across multiple teams, right? And potentially up to an entire release train, which can be up to, let's say, 150 people or something like that, very large release train. So having processes and discipline to actually help enable cultural change is a key aspect of the importance of a release train engineer, especially when going through a transformation as well. So I just wanted to add that on there. So Silver, what does success look like for you as an RTE?
Yeah, I agree with what both of you said, for sure. There's a lot involved in the basket of things that the RTE has kind of oversees, but has somewhat little to no control over, which is, it's pretty typical, I think, in the program and project arenas. I think the definition of success is constantly evolving for an RTE. It really follows that trajectory of like the team formation of like the norming, that whole arc.
Yeah.
And so I think that follows as well. So like at first, an RTE who's just starting out with an organization that's rolling out SAFe is like very involved in ensuring like things are kind of followed by the book and making sure that processes are followed, right? So, and trying to limit different changes or and different tweaks that people are trying to make to the process coming on early out to ensure that it's successful. And just the mechanics of running that first PI is quite overwhelming. So getting that off the blocks is a great success, I think, for an early RTE. As the organization evolves and they kind of develop that muscle memory, each art develops its own muscle memory of how those things work. Things get easier so that the prioritization of the success of that is somewhat less important. And then how the actual relationships of the teams and the product managers, as well as the technical leadership, is working to support and remove obstacles and helping the art become more efficient I think that really becomes much more in the scope of what success looks like for an RTA and trying to enable those, enable and facilitate those relationships and connections to happen. So I agree 100% with Troy. Culture comes last, but as an RTE, although you have little direct influence and authority, kind of as Nina was saying, to actually control the content of what's going on, you have a lot of influence to impact how things are being perceived and run. And that is a huge difference in the adoption of the process to the organization.
Great, thank you. So what do you think are the, or what have been the biggest challenges for you personally as the RTE? We'll go to a personal level. And also in addition to that is, what might be some more generic challenges that you could foresee? So either one of those kind of questions. Whoever wants to start, feel free.
So I'll take that. I'll go first on that. So personally, I mean, biggest challenges, I think the whole thing was very new to me. So trying to learn everything and absorb all that along with it can be kind of intimidating to run an event for 150 people and be quote unquote in charge of that and the responsible for that. So that can be a very large challenge. And then as you're going along, like I said, this lack of authority over these things that you are responsible for orchestrating. Honestly, right. Like you have little to no authority of that, but you have to wield influence. And so how do you effectively do that? It really tests the strength of your relationships within the organization. I think, Nina's very new to the organization. She's done a great job with that. But I think as well, like you can't have a brand new RTE you're just pulling in from nowhere and hiring them off the street without really strong support for different relationships in the organization, which fortunately I had because of my former role. But that's, even with that, it's still very challenging.
Okay.
New to everyone.
All right. Thank you. And Nina, any thoughts about the biggest challenges that either you've personally faced or that you could foresee an RTE facing? Either one.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, regarding my background, so I had no safe background, I just underwent one certification, training certification, and then definitely coach like you and mentor like Silver has helped me a lot, performing all my duties in this role. And I think I joined organization, GoGo, where we were kind of getting a little matured in, the whole PI planning process and events and stuff like that. So I don't think onboarding this new role was really very challenging. But I would say going forward, even, any change is hard, and it can be for you or the teams you're working on. So whenever you're bringing in new good practices, I think it's a little difficult to coach, team members to do things certain way when they have been doing it in some other way for years. And then I think that's sometimes it's a little difficult to help the art embrace these new changes. It takes a little while to help them understand why we want them to change the way they are doing things. Yeah.
And I'd say, just to add to that, too, it's less about challenges specific to being an RTE to just in general, like Nina was saying, like any change is really difficult. So if you have someone, it's specifically difficult in this context just because it's such a large initiative influencing such a large group of people. So, 100 to 200 people, right? So if you have a senior leader, as Troy's very aware of our situation at GoGo that we had, when you have challenging leaders, it's even more important as an RTE to how do you navigate that relationship? How do you build that bridge? How do you try to wield influence to create a believer out of someone who's a skeptic, right? And that goes across the board from whether it's a senior leader down to a developer, within that context. And that's kind of a challenge for anybody who's trying to roll out any kind of change, but it's a little more so, I think, in the RTE role because of the large scale.
And one of the other challenges that that I see is some aspects of change management. Right, a lot of times we do these large scale transformations or changes. And there's so much change going on that people get like this change fatigue as well. So, but sometimes we can't stop it, meaning like the organization has decided to go a certain way and make a bunch of changes and we have to go try to execute it. So because of that, but that doesn't mean that human beings aren't there and feeling the burnout of the change, right? So I think one of the other aspects of an RTE is understanding that how the human change works and how it's a challenge when it comes to burnout and the fact that people generally don't want to just change for the sake of changing. They have to understand why they're changing, how it's going to benefit them, how it's going to benefit the company. So I see two aspects of an RTE. One is the ability to train and also to not only train, but to actually influence the why behind the decision making. So if you can not only explain the why, but be an influencer to when somebody could say, yes, I can personally see how this is going to benefit me and the company. Therefore, I'm willing to go kind of down this way of working with you as compared to it being kind of just pushed on them, right? And they don't have a choice. So I think there's a real fine line there that an RTE has to be able to be influential, to be able to train as well as, explain the why and be empathetic to the people that are on the train that are dealing with change fatigue, let's say particularly. And also set the example in meetings, in events, et cetera, when you notice that the culture might be struggling, that people might be unhappy, that they might be frustrated, you know, setting the example and not kind of getting brought into that mindset, but setting the example of where we want to go and the positivity aspect, I think is pretty important. It's also a big challenge, but the RTE kind of has to think, hey, I'm kind of someone who has to influence others and try to get the results. And I can't do that if I am involved in the same mentality, if they're struggling, if they're being negative or snarky or critiquing each other or whatever the case is, when you're going through the storming particularly, right? So there's like example setting, there's empathy, there's change management aspects to it. That's all part of what makes a great release train engineer. So I just wanted to throw that out
there. Yeah, and I would say, like, in talking about challenges, I think that is really an important thing, like the example setting of it. So, as an RTE, you are in a very exposed position. And so on your bad days and, when you don't necessarily bring your best self to work, it can get a little challenging because, yeah, people are looking at you all the time to set the example for, kind of what does it look like in terms of like how we're supposed to be approaching this and whatnot. So, it can be challenging at times as well. I mean, and also that writing, that fine balance, of empathy and really trying to persuade and influence in a positive way. But at the same time, there are times as an RTE where like you have to be assertive, and what that looks like, right? And writing that line. So I think the balance of, trying to balance all those things is definitely a challenge. And in terms of personal growth as well, and how, what is your personal attitude towards personal growth? Because as an RTE, you really have to be, leaning very heavily on and wanting to develop your EQ, your emotional intelligence. It's really critical.
Great. Well, thank you for that. So my next question then is, if someone's listening to this out there and they're not an RTE and they could be in any role right now, they could be a developer, a scrum master, a manager, like Nina was and you were as well, any role, what are the key skills you feel like an RTE needs to have, and how could someone develop into that role, and how could they develop those skills?
Nina, I think you were on this journey to kind of get there and applying. So what do you, you've been very successful at it. So what do you think? What was your secret?
I can just pinpoint a couple of, or more than a couple, traits for, where people can focus on, or if they can see it's in them, probably they can make a great RTE. First and foremost, I think is, adopting agile truly. So there is a saying that doing agile versus being agile. And I think you need to adopt both as an agile mindset, so I think that's one of the biggest quality any RTE should have. And Troy also mentioned, you know, we need to focus more on systems thinking. I think that's also one of the biggest quality of RTE as well. They need to think holistically, and that's one of the Lean Agile principle as well, you know, regarding the systems thinking. Also, SAFE has some guidelines. One of the other guidelines is facilitator. We talked about program iteration, PI planning, and the execution over 2 days, PI planning preparations and stuff like that. So I think, you know, definitely a person should have a strong facilitator, thing as well, where, you know, they should have techniques to keep the participants engaged for sure. I think another aspect I can talk about coaching as well, because I think RTE needs to have that coaching ability as well. And coaching can be on different aspects. It can be on technical versus non-technical aspects. I think coaching is also one of the biggest things. And I think RTE, all the four SAFE core values, which is built-in quality, alignment, transparency, and program execution. So I think RTE is at the heart of all these core values. So RTE should be able to hold on to all these core values together, for sure.
That was beautifully said, Nina. That was beautifully said, I have to say. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you. And and Silver, same question to you.
Yeah, so if you're looking to be an RTE, I feel like the qualities that you can focus on more generically is just being someone who really is successful at working cross-functionally, understands relationships between people. As much as there's a lot of the technical driving business value of that, your success as an RTE to do that is how you bring out people's intrinsic motivations to get that to happen. That's really one of the critical things I feel like to being an RTE. So whatever opportunity that you can have to work in roles that allow you to be in between organizations and learning how to build those strong relationships is really important. And I think too, as well, is like being aware of and recognizing, you know, that you're not going to know everything. So just as like in the, I think it's the Agile Competency Framework, there's kind of something I would say akin to being an RTE within that framework as well, that you can't really understand or know or be master at every single thing needed to be an RTE. So what I would say as well is like, so our styles, Nina and I, our styles are can be really different, and the expertise that she brings in the quality side of it is leaps and bounds exponentially stronger than what I bring to it. Where, you know, maybe I'm stronger in different aspects than she is, right, at this point in time. So what you bring to the table as an RTE can be powerful, but it's not always all. You can't be great at everything. So these are different things that you can develop and work on, whether from the technical perspective or from the soft skill sides and relationship building perspective.
Great. And Silver, I believe what you're referring to for the audience is the Agile Coaching Institute's coaching competency model.
Yeah.
And that is basically, it looks like an X-Wing in Star Wars. But basically the top of it is lean agile practices and techniques. And then you have, that's kind of the stuff that most people think about. Oh, you're a coach, you know how to do story writing or whatever, right? All the process stuff. And then on top of that, or on the side, you have facilitation, you have training, you have coaching and mentoring. And those are all things that are a lifetime you can improve at, each one of those things. And that you're never really done. I mean, you can always be a better coach, a mentor, facilitator, or trainer. And there are, and all of those things are kind of a profession. I mean, the coaching and mentoring is kind of, there's some overlap there. But if you think about it, there are people who are professional trainers. There are people who are actually professional facilitators, people, professional coaches. So an RTE is kind of someone who has to grow all of those skills out over time. And then we all have our backgrounds that we come from, either that's business, that's technical, that's kind of transformation background and organizational design. So, and it's understanding that it's okay to not have a lot of skills in one of those backgrounds because you just didn't come from that. But it's, so it's like we all have our depth and then we develop breadth in other things that we're lacking. And then we kind of pick for a career path, which ones do we want to focus on growing deeper at as well to grow. So that's just, I just wanted to add on to what Silver was saying about the coaching model. there. So,
well, and one thing I did want to add, sorry, I just remember this as well, is like one critical thing I think that if you really want to be a successful RTE in developing is really that servant leadership mindset, and that as an RTE, if you're the kind of person who like, I want to be in this role because it has such high exposure, has like some glory to it or whatever you want to say, then you're the wrong person for that role, to be honest. Because the role is really, you have to be someone who wants to be able to plug in anywhere, whether it's, you know, hey, like the pizza didn't, like the lunch didn't get ordered. Okay, how can you think faster on your feet to make that call and then make sure that everyone gets fed, you know, and you're helping, you could be doing kind of quote unquote menial jobs of like ensuring that the AV is set up correctly. All those things that are somewhat thankless jobs are critical to the success of these events happening. You know, and so if your attitude about those things is like, oh, somebody else should be doing that, and I need to be involved in like the preparation of all the features and working with the senior leadership on making sure that the epic writing or the prioritization process is happening. Yeah, all those things are really important as well. But I would say that in the importance of everything, it's pretty equal. And I feel like at least for some of the candidates that I've evaluated and interviewed for the roles that I've had open for an RTE, like I look for someone who is just willing to get in there and do quote unquote the dirty work and the very non-glamorous work. So that's a really important trait of a really trained engineer, I feel like, servant leadership.
Great mindset. Point. We didn't talk about that, but thank you for bringing that up because I totally agree. All right. So words of advice. So this is your opportunity to say, if someone is an RTE right now, or they want to be, or they're brand new, if you had to kind of talk to yourself from when you first started, what would the advice you give yourself? And let's give that to the audience. So just think about that for a second. And then whoever wants to go first, whoever has something they want to say, now's the time.
I can go. Okay. Because being new to this role, and honestly, I don't feel that I'm very new at it, because I think, you know, I think I got a hang of this role very well. So I think number one thing is challenge yourself. When you think about this role and, you know, you know that you can do it, just challenge yourself and go there and, you know, keep learning and reading. I think that is also a big demand of this role. If you are not safe, then definitely I would highly recommend that you have to go and do some certifications, do a lot of reading. And as you mentioned, Troy, that coach, you know, mentor or facilitator, you always get better at it, and it's a skill. So, you know, keep doing that more often, and, you know, you'll get better at it.
Great. Thank you, Nina. Silver, how about you?
You know, I would echo what Nina's saying as well. The other thing, too, that I would say is that, you know, it's a jack of all trades role, and training is important, but the actual hands-on skill, I wouldn't dismiss that. And I would say you're going to make mistakes. You know, it's going to be rough sometimes, but you have to recognize that as well on where you failed, and be vulnerable to admitting that and asking for help when you need that, whether it's from your direct management or from a coach from the outside, or getting that different lens of things. Sometimes it feels like a lot of reminding and babysitting people, but I think that it's really important that you're kind of continuing to foster a certain kind of the environment that you're wanting to create. I'm a huge believer in like culture starting with you as an individual and what you're bringing to the table every day. And so, although it may be frustrating and discouraging at times, I think that just really keeping that mindset involved and looking at like kind of where you've been, and how far you've come with it. That makes sense.
Definitely makes sense. And I have one word of advice then for the either RTEs or potentials. When it comes to systems thinking and taking an economic view, that first SAFe principle, to me, the secret sauce of scaling Agile is lean. So at the team level, we have Scrum and XP and maybe Kanban and those types of processes. But when you start scaling to a program and portfolio level, the real secret to making all of this work is systems thinking and empowered by lean. And when I say lean, I'm really talking about reduction in WIP, managing queue size, as well as measuring throughput, cycle time, and using cumulative flow to analyze where your bottlenecks are in your system and how do we improve the system? How do we improve the flow of value? So one of the ways in SAFe specifically is something called an art sync, which is a systemic view of the program, of all the features. And it's based off of lean thinking and lean metrics. And my word of advice is to utilize that art sync and the program Kanban to really drive the systems thinking and focusing on the flow of value and not just optimizing individual teams, but how do we optimize the flow of value, the whole system of the art itself? And to me, that perspective and that coaching and guidance and mentoring from an RTE for the entire art from a lean perspective can be very powerful. So my suggestion would be, there's a book you can start with, Actionable Agile Metrics for Predictability, the Silver and Nina might laugh or not, but
because I require it for reading for all my people to start.
Yes, it's required reading. So Dan Vicanti, I don't get anything for recommending this. One day, Dan, maybe it would be awesome to have like to go out and get some steaks or something. The amount of books I think I'm selling for Dan is fun. But yes, Actionable Agile Metrics for Predictability by Dan Vicanti. It's a great starting point. If you're going to start anywhere, that and Lean Software Development by Mary and Tom Papadick. But I would just start with Dan's book. It's easy to understand. It's kind of short. Gets to the point about the metrics, where to start. And you can really, if you take that book and apply that to your art sync meetings, I really think you're going to get some great results from that. It's just starting to change the culture and changing how we look at the work. So that's my word of advice.
Just along with his words of advice, it is not an easy, like, buy it and get it going. It's definitely an evolution. We've been trying to get it going for a while and we're still working at it. But yeah, I agree with Joy on focusing on lean and the Kanban board and things like that throughout.
Well, nothing great has ever been accomplished by being easy, Silver.
No. This is true.
So if it was that easy, everyone would just be rich and doing great things. And it's not like that, right? Everyone would be have 10% body fat and there would be no struggle at all in life. So everything great, whether it's personal growth, whether it's career performance, whether it's change, like we're talking about cultural change, there's going to be a struggle to achieve it. And there's going to be an amount of discipline that has to be worked to achieve that. And when you're working through that discipline, that's when it kind of sucks, right? So you can apply that to anything, but it applies to this level too, I think. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. So I think we're at the wrap-up phase. So if I don't know if you folks have a LinkedIn or a Twitter or an email or whatever you'd like to share, if someone wants to reach out to you, what might be a way that they could accomplish that?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. So you can reach me on there. It's Silver with a Y, S-Y-L-V-E-R. Calfo is my last name. So I'm sure Troy will probably have that in the show notes. So if you want to reach out to me, feel free to. We're always looking to learn more and to build relationships with other organizations that are looking at SAFe. So I welcome that if you are interested.
Great. How about you, Nina?
Yeah, I think almost every individual from software and non-software is on LinkedIn. I'm also on LinkedIn. You guys can find me on Nina, N-A-Y-A-N-A, Chaban, C-H-A-B-A-N, and you guys can contact me there.
Awesome. And you can find me on our Agile Uprising Discord. I'll put the link in the show notes. If you want to come and talk about any subjects with any of the Agile Uprising board members, it's totally free. You can do that. You can ask questions. You can give advice to others. We have a little community going on there. We also have a free coalition. That's at coalition.agileuprising.com. It's like that, but it's not in Discord. It's just a public little website. And you can reach me on Twitter at G4STroy. So I do have a LinkedIn, but I don't really use it, to be honest with you. I just don't like getting spammed on there by bunch of different people. But that being said, I said the best way to reach me is probably Twitter and Discord. Okay. So I just wanted to thank you for your time. It's been a great conversation. And I hopefully that either RTEs or potential RTEs or people that are just curious about the role or scaling Agile in general got something out of this. So I wanted to thank you for that.